This is where smart business conversations meet real-world experience, where strategies are shared, lessons are learned, and ideas come to life. I'm Emily Galindo, and you're watching Biz Talk, your destination for real insight from the mind shaping tomorrow's business world. Only on Now Media Television.
Welcome to Biz Talk, where we dive into the real-world challenges business leaders face and the smart solutions that drive results. I'm your host, Emily Galindo, and today's episode is all about the struggle many dealerships face in finding profitable used inventory. It's a growing problem that impacts margins, sales velocity, and long-term growth. Joining us today is Daryl Steed, founder of Smart Wolf Consulting, with over 15 years of hands-on experience in fixed operations, inventory strategy, and dealership marketing. Daryl is known for delivering results without the fluff, and he works with businesses nationwide to optimize operations and drive profitability with honesty and action. Daryl, thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having me. Really appreciate coming on the show.
Absolutely. We look forward to your expertise and sharing with our viewers. So let's jump right in. Why is sourcing quality pre-owned vehicles such a tough challenge these days?
Well, we've had a couple of world events that have really affected supply and getting things continuing to grow. So when COVID happened, they stopped producing a lot of cars, which then in turn created a vacuum for everything else that was left. And so a lot of dealers kind of got a little lazy when that happened because everything was low supply, high demand. And now we're back to a different dynamic that is becoming more challenging to make profitability and still get a quality vehicle for them to sell.
Okay. So the COVID thing really did create quite an uproar in your industry, right? So many dealerships are stuck in this cycle of chasing inventory that either costs too much upfront or doesn't move once it hits the lot, right? And so the pressure to compete with larger dealerships and navigating, you know, those types of margins can be challenging, it sounds like. So what's the solution? Where do we start? Is it with sourcing quality vehicles, or is it with marketing? Is it with margins? Where would you start?
So for me, I start, you know, out on the street. So you'll see in my background, it says Street Smarts, and that's what we've created to go after private party acquisition, which in essence means going back to the people, right? It's creating a consumer dynamic, which we've seen happen, and we didn't really take it seriously, but now it's something that dealerships have to deal with, which was what CarMax and now Carvana have done, is creating a really easy experience to where people want to do business with you and want to come back to you, not just to buy a car, but to sell a car. So it's taking what you've known and I've known for years of the auto dealership being it where you buy and service your car, really wrapping that back to where you can sell your car back, but in a very transparent and consumer friendly process, rather than what we've seen in the movies of being more of the snake oil salesman type of situation.
I was going to say, like, part of, I mean, that issue of the consumer wanting to go directly to the dealership obviously that makes the most sense. There's, you guys want to buy cars and I want to sell my car, but then we also have a lot of, ideas about what that experience is like, that I'm not getting the most value out of my car, that, you know, I'm being taken advantage of. And so could you help our viewers from the consumer perspective? What are some things that we should be looking at if it's a quality dealership, and what experience would you be consulting with your clients on? What kind of experience to provide for consumers?
Yeah, I mean, the first one is you're going to create a buying center. So essentially what some of these big groups that I mentioned before have done is you're going to create a whole different business model to you. So we know we sell cars. We know that you can bring them in to service them. But now we're going to create a buying business that's all your people do, is they inspect a vehicle, they give values, and they're doing everything they can to get that best value for the customer so that it is a different segment. So essentially a different business model. The second thing that I really bring into is we have to build a brand. And because we have such a, I'll call it a unique dynamic of what a dealership is viewed by the public from years of negative connotations, is we have to build a brand that is completely different than the sales structure. You want to look at like a Nordstrom's or a Dillard's, where it's consumer experience first, At the same time, you're getting them those values and you're making it very easy to transact, whether it be online or in your showroom. So that makes customers want to come back to you and is a starting block. I will not say it's a solution, but it is a starting point of ending that bad net connotation to the dealerships and starting a new one of like, oh, you know what? We're doing this in a more transparent and a trusting way rather than the old school, what we've seen in the movies or what we've experienced of the not doing things very upfront or doing things in a deceptive way.
Okay. And so, I mean, I think that's a great starting block, as you mentioned. I'm just because somebody's got to start to change first, and it's not going to be the consumer. We have solutions. So for, pre-owned dealerships, if they want to start capitalizing on some of that market share from the big guys, they definitely, as you mentioned and recommend, should start with treating the customers with that transparency and that service-based experience to entice them to come want to sell your vehicles, because that's one way for the dealerships to be able to increase their pre-owned inventory. Is that the idea behind why we want to invest in this department?
Yeah, I mean that's definitely one. The other part is dealers are already struggling because they go to the auctions. Now, for those that people that don't know understand the auction dynamic, the auction is heavily bloated with fees and arbitration and a lot of things that are part of the business, but is a lot of risk for the dealer and a big consumption of time. So it actually behooves dealers to move forward into this dynamic that some of these bigger operations like CarMax and Carvana have been doing for years. So that they can not only bring in the right vehicles, which put them in a better profitable situation, but it reduces their expense and risk from being so reliant on one source. It's really creating a holistic business model so that if you have a bad month in one area, you're not reactive because you've only depended on that one source. You create a holistic thing to where we can miss in one area and still be okay because we have six other areas that we're approaching.
Okay, and the auction is the typical model and is the sole source of new pre-owned inventory. Is that right?
For
Did I hear that right?
pre-owned, the auction and then trade-ins would be your number one and number two. But anything outside of that is, we'll say, adopted by about 3 to 5% of the country's automotive dealerships. So it's not widely accepted. And that's where I fit in is what if, and we've already seen this be very successful for years, is when you start saying we're going to do private party and first party, and we're going to change where we get cars from, service drive acquisition, to where we no longer are reliant on one or two pieces, but we have a holistic strategy to where we can now create a dynamic that's consistent and sustainable.
Okay, and who doesn't love multiple streams of income, right? It doesn't matter what industry you're in, but it sounds like that's what you would be helping dealerships to provide is multiple solutions with different varying profit margins, right? And not being able to be dependent on just one. So how aside from that multiple revenue streams, how can you help dealership owners like maybe look at how do you have a secret to spotting good deals or what people should look for if they are looking for that inventory and how to spot a profitable opportunity with the right margins?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if there's a secret anymore. I mean, we've been doing this for quite some time. But what I would say my focus is kind of in that holistic nature is stop looking at profit only from one area. So we typically measure by how much we make when we sell the car or if we have any finance income. And there's multiple pieces where income touches the store. So you have to create a holistic nature to how you measure because when we measure it, it opens up avenues of business for us. But when we're looking at inventory, you do need to use analytics and some of the science of it so that you're not just buying cars for the sake of having inventory. You're buying the cars that either are more in demand and they're sought after more or drive a lot of traffic to your store. So it creates more conversation. So there is the old school way of the I'm just going to shoot from the hip and I have a feeling has kind of found its way out of the industry because it is more of a math and science game. And then using that math and science in a way that allows you to be more predictable to consistency rather than having the up and down months that you see where we're really great one month and then we're down the next.
And so Wolf Street Consulting, tell me a little bit about like what can you provide to a whole to an a, to a dealership? Like what is it that you specialize in when you come in and looking at all of these angles and these analytics, you put it all together? I mean, tell us a little bit about like a success story or an example of a client that you've worked with to help us get a real our heads wrapped around exactly how you can help our viewers with their dealerships.
Yeah, so when I come in, the first thing we do is we're gonna take a real hard look at what we're not doing. And that's always a tough one because everyone says they want to change right up until we have to change. And we look at where are we missing things, where can we improve, and we get all the like tough stuff out of the way, and then we go directly to where can we win. We know what we're not doing well, so we're gonna talk about where we can win, and we're gonna focus on a couple things. We're gonna build a brand. Whether you use your name or a different name, and we're going to create a buying brand. So we're only going after acquisition. Because at the end of the day, you can't sell from empty shelves. So if we don't have it, you can't sell it. So we're going to really realign the focus of a dealership, which is kind of where it becomes really unique, is you're no longer someone that sells cars. We're going to turn you into someone that buys cars. Because once we have them, selling's the easy part, buying's the hard part. Then we get into training your people. The processes is where I really focus in on is creating very simple and easy processes to follow so that we can do it consistently. We do it every day and creating those disciplines and routines. And then the third thing is getting in the trenches with you. So they'll all do things virtually and I'll do coaching like that. The stores that are looking for that big success, I will go to their store. I'm in there either weekly, bi-weekly, once a month, depending on what we put together. And I'm in the trenches doing it with them so that they can see it's not just talk, it's action. And then actually showing people and giving them that confidence that this is a very hard thing to do, but it's not impossible because that's where it all starts, is being able to get people confident in what they're doing to approach it in a transparent, trustworthy, and consistent way.
I think all of this sounds very supportive and very actionable. So if people were viewing today and wanted to get in touch with you, how could they contact you to ask more questions?
You can find me on my website, which is www.smartwolfconsulting. I have another one, which looks like the background that you see here, which is www.autostreetsmarts.com. Or I'm anywhere on social. You type my name, Daryl Steed, or Smart Wolf Consulting, Facebook, LinkedIn, TikTok, Instagram. And we just have a conversation. And as you see it scrolling right there, that, how many cars are bought and how much profit's been made for stores. And it's a true win-win solution. The consumer wins, the dealership wins, and we win together in the sense of we're going to build something that becomes sustainable to where you get reviews, testimonials, and branding that's going to change the automotive industry away from what we've seen in the movies into something people want to engage with.
I applaud you because I think this is an opportunity that we've all, as consumers, have been waiting for a long time and would love for the auto industry to meet us where I think our buyers are at. And so, Daryl, thank you so much for joining us today. Your insights around smarter inventory and buying, practical strategies, and mostly focusing on the fundamentals of just taking care of people. So, thank you so much. To our,
Thank you so much for having me on.
got it. To our viewers, if you've been struggling with sourcing used vehicles or just want to sharpen your acquisition game, I hope today's conversation sparked some new ideas for you. So remember, the key isn't to outspend, it's to outsmart. You've been watching Biz Talk on Now Media Television, and we'll be right back after this commercial break.
We are just getting started. Stick around and we'll be right back with more lessons, insights, and behind-the-scenes stories from the people driving real business forward. You're watching Biz Talk, only on Now Media Television. And we're back. I'm Emily Galindo, and this is Biz Talk on Now Media Television. Let's dive back into the conversations that move business forward.
Loving what you're watching? Don't miss a moment of Biz Talk or any of your favorite Now Media TV shows, live or on demand, anytime, anywhere. Download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and enjoy instant access to our full lineup of bilingual programming in both English and Spanish. If you prefer to listen on the go, catch the podcast version of the show right on the Now Media TV website at www.nowmedia.tv. From business and breaking news, to lifestyle and culture and everything in between, Now Media TV is streaming 24/7, ready whenever you are. And welcome back to Biz Talk. If you're just now joining us, I'm your host, Emily Galindo, and we are here to help you have and create and thrive in business in whatever industry that you're in. And we are very excited to have our guest with us today. Amanda James owns a construction company. So yes, Amanda, a woman-owned construction company right here in Houston with Bentwood Construction Services. And she's going to be talking with us about what makes it, what makes their company and what could you could do in your own business to make it stand out and have the lifetime value of clients. Bentwood Construction Services has been having repeat customers for lifetimes of generations of remodeling and homes and things like that. And we want to know, what's the secret to have a thriving construction company here in Houston? So welcome, Amanda James.
Thank you for having me.
You are so welcome. I in the lead-in, I said, like, you are in a very competitive industry in Houston, mm-hmm. Yes?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. And so what do you, and you've only been, you come from a lifetime of contractors in your family, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But this company is actually yours.
Yes, this is my company.
It is not your parents' company.
No.
You didn't inherit your father's
No, I didn't.
And you chose to go into construction having been raised in this industry.
Yeah, it's a cutthroat industry. And I think that you make it what you make it. You make it like what you put in. And I have found a way to put my clients first, and that is the biggest thing in repeat clients.
Is putting the clients first. So why do you think that other contractors and home service companies don't have the client first mentality?
Because they're dealing with like the faster turnover and getting to the next job. Not putting the client first, they're thinking of their job first. And their job, the first job is the client. So you have to really focus on making sure that your client feels at ease with you and trust what you're saying to them. And a lot of the times other companies are looking to fix the problem and get in and get out. I'm looking to make sure that the client understands what's happening. They understand what the process is of everything and what I can do to make this whole construction situation easier. I'm not just getting in and getting out. I'm there to talk them through it all.
So Bentwood Construction would, I guess, is taking more of the quality over quantity approach.
Absolutely.
Is it still profitable though? That sounds time intensive and like I'm not getting enough opportunity. And so me as a business owner would feel maybe like I'm losing money by doing that.
No. You're building your company by doing that. Like, my clients are walking me next door to their neighbor's house to be like, you have to meet Amanda. My clients are calling their parents while I'm there, like, I want you to meet Amanda. You know, I'm going to my client's house that needs just a couch dropped off at their sister's house. And I'm going one step out of my way to make their life infinitely easier.
And it's just one step, but it makes a huge difference. I mean, the things that you just described, I think every business owner on the, especially every contractor would love that. Mm-hmm. We all have follow-up processes where you're like, hey, who do you know in the neighborhood that might also have this problem, right? Or
right.
Their sales approaches, like, I'm working on so-and-so's house down the street. You should then trust us because they trust us. Mm-hmm. But to have somebody, your client, walk you to the neighbor's house and say, this is the person you got to do business with.
Yeah.
Like that makes a huge difference.
It really does. And I think that that starts with really understanding what they want and what they need and going above and beyond to make that happen.
As a piece of like free advice, I mean, let's say the owners, we have all these established companies in the market right mm-hmm. here. And if they can't do it, let's say that the people already currently employed are not capable of providing that level of customer service, what would you recommend that they hire more women in this industry to provide that level of comfort and care? And
absolutely. I mean, normally you look to like in a household, you look towards the woman to solve a lot of the problems within the home. So bringing in women contractors makes the person that's in the home the most, normally the mom or the wife, feel understood and heard, and like her needs matter. And you're bringing in a woman to help her get to where the client needs to go. And so women are the problem solvers of the homes. And so bringing in a woman contractor, you're getting both of the women's input, the homeowner and me, or the GC that comes in. And we love to solve the problems. We love to do what makes our client happy. I think that a lot of times men will look at the fast solution, and sometimes that's not the right solution for the client.
I like how you phrase that, the right solution for the client. Like, it may be the right thing to do, but
absolutely,
if it doesn't help them feel like it's the right decision, like it's just gonna create friction,
mm-hmm.
right?
And it will.
And that's where we end up with these strange men in my house who are causing all this chaos that I don't want to be around. And having that's the experience that your client could have, or you could have the experience that you guys provide of what can we do for you and how can we help? And
right.
I think the magic words for any woman's heart is, how can I make your life easier?
Yes. And that's what we do. We make everything easier for them.
Okay, very good. And so I want you to talk a little bit about one of the other things I think most of our audience members, especially people who own businesses in these industries, is employment. It's mm-hmm. high turnover. It's, I can't get people to come to work. I can't find subs that work out for me. Mm-hmm. Like all of those. You guys also don't have that issue. Let's talk a little bit about that.
We keep as much in-house as possible, because in the past I found so many subcontractors that even I had done business with for 10 years, they're all of a sudden outsourcing subs. And so I'm no longer getting the company that I love and the work that I trust. I'm getting a sub of a sub of a sub, and I no longer know that person. I don't know what they're capable of. I don't know that they're going to do good work, and I'm not going to put my clients at that risk. So keeping as much in-house as possible really lets us stand out, because I don't have 20 different guys coming into your house. I don't have a plumber quitting mid-project because of some sub issue. I have a consistent crew, and they all know what I expect, and they know what my clients expect. And I think that there's a lot of value in making sure that your clients are getting what they're paying to get by keeping a lot in-house.
And how have you established like that with them, like to create that? Obviously time is part of it, but is there something that you do as the owner to create the culture of this client-centered first or anything like that to instruct, if you were to bring on a new sub, like how would you, in a particular sub or expert in a field, like how would you set the tone of your expectations and hold them?
So I set the tone by treating my subs how I treat my clients. What do you need? What do you need me to do to make your job go smoothly? If that's having one of my guys on the job the whole time you're there that day, absolutely I will. Do you need help to do this and your helper's not there? We're there. I make them understand how I treat my clients by how I treat them. And a lot of the times you don't see that. You see GCs coming in and kind of being like a dictator, and I will tell people what to do, but I'm there to get you from point A to point B if you need me.
Well, I think a lot of people need you in their life. So what kind of projects does Bentwater Construction Services like really want to hyper-focus in on that you help clients with?
So we focus on a lot of remodels, home additions, like kitchen, bathroom, new floors, tile, laminate, carpet even.
What's the project that makes your heart sing that you love to do?
I really love coming into a house that is a little bit chaotic and they feel like they've lost control on their stuff and they want to redo a kitchen. I really love kitchens. I love appliances. The older I get, the more I love appliances.
Ice making capacity is something I didn't realize I needed.
It matters. But a bathroom, let's say a bathroom remodel, I will take everything into consideration, even like how big your shampoo bottles are that you regularly stock, because that matters. Nothing's worse than building a whole new space and your shampoo bottle doesn't even fit, you know? So I like doing that, and then being able to help them organize all of their stuff going back into the cabinets, back into the shower, pick little finishes. I'll supply all of the artwork that you want in there, and a plant. It really makes it just feel so much better. And then when the project's done, you get a full completed space. All of your stuff that you want is kept in there and has a home. And everything else that needs to go, we take it away. And so when we leave your house, you are left with a full, refinished, non-stressful space.
And that sounds beautiful. And so if there are any of our viewers that want to work with you and learn more about some of these projects, or they've got something that you just said that wants them, that they want to be organized, how can people get a hold of you?
You can give me a call, 713-702-1709, or reach out to me via email, Facebook, LinkedIn. I'm here for whatever you need.
Perfect. And you can also check out their website at bentwoodconstructionservices.com to see their gallery and all of their design services to be able to help put you back at ease and have a stress-free living environment. Yeah. Well, thank you very much for sharing your so much knowledge with us. I mean, it really is a competitive market, and these types of things that you just described is what makes the difference. And so thank you for sharing your advice with everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me.
You got it. And stick with us. We'll be right back with some more Biz Talk.
We are just getting started. Stick around and we'll be right back with more lessons, insights, and behind-the-scenes stories from the people driving real business forward. You're watching Biz Talk, only on Now Media Television. And we're back. I'm Emily Galindo, and this is Biz Talk on Now Media Television. Let's dive back into the conversations that move business forward.
Welcome back to Biz Talk, where we turn big ideas into the real-world business strategies that you can put into action. I'm your host, Emily Galindo, and in this segment, we are cutting through the fluff to talk about networking that actually works. The kind that gets you results, not just a stack of business cards gathering dust. And I feel like I'm the right person to talk to you about this because I am, in fact, a professional networker. And networking is often misunderstood. Too many people treat it like a numbers game instead of a relationship game. And in this segment, we're going to be busting some of the most common networking myths and replacing them with practical, actionable steps that you can use at your very next event or meeting. So let's start at the very beginning with, as a professional business owner, I'm sure that you have been invited to or are aware of all kinds of networking opportunities. Maybe you've been a part of a structured event. Maybe you have gone to a chamber something or other, a chamber meeting, breakfast, or perhaps you've just been naturally doing this as you've gone through business. But ultimately, networking is a relationship game. It's about establishing connections that develop into real relationships that pass you more business. So if you have been successful on your own and developed these relationships of people in your life that are giving you business and recommending you to their clients because you're a complimentary service, that is in itself networking. Now, how do you take that and increase it by 30 to 40%? If your business is looking to grow 30 to 40%, the one thing that you can implement today is actionable networking, building relationships in a structured way with intent to grow the business. So the beautiful thing for me that I love about networking is that everybody's there for the same reason. Everybody is in this room trying to meet each other so that they can build those relationships so that the person that you've made a connection with will eventually send you business, become part of your sales team, become part of your marketing strategy. You want advocates out there that are promoting you, talking about you, and recommending you to their customers, their clients, their friends, and their family. So how do you bridge the gap between starting with a business card at a networking event and all the way to getting that advocate that you that the business needs to grow 30 to 40%? So the first thing is 76% of coffee meetings create or turn into referral partnerships. So if 76% of coffee meetings turn into referral relationships, so then how do we get more coffee meetings? And the way you get more coffee meetings is by going to a networking event. Now, you walk into the room and it can be a very overwhelming experience for some, but ultimately there's lots of people there. And everybody looks at it, most people look at that as a numbers game. If I meet everyone in the room, I will hopefully run into somebody who needs my product or service and I can close a deal or set up a coffee meeting or move my business forward in some way. And that is a very traditional approach. It's a very common approach, but I'm here today to help you turn this into an opportunity to make it not a numbers game. When I used to go out and network, I would actually walk out with my right pocket full of people I needed to follow up with and my left pocket, you know, filled with people I never wanted to talk to again, or there was no need to talk to them again or set up a meeting with them. And they ended up in the trash. That is going to be not the greatest use of your time. My recommendation to you is take that opportunity in the room and be intentional about your time there and leverage the people in the room. One of the ways that you can do that is by simply, as you're talking to the regular people, you can simply ask. If you are there and a great referral partner for you is a CPA because you are in payroll services, right, you represent a payroll company and you need to talk to more CPAs, instead of standing there and talking to the floral person, and while they may need your payroll services and that may be great, what you really want to do is be asking some of the people in the room, do you know if there's a CPA in the room? Simply asking a really great direct question to somebody who knows a lot of people in the room will get you there faster and they would be more than happy to introduce you. So once you get to that CPA, here's the deal. Having questions that make you stand out and actually care about the people that you're talking to is the one thing that makes you stand out and not just be one of the business cards in one of their pockets. I would highly recommend that you don't ask people, what do you do for a living or what do you do? That is a very common question that basically tells people that you are only interested in talking to them because of what they do. So reframe that. Start asking people a really great question that you can ask is, what project are you working on right now? What's something that's really exciting going on in your business at this time? By asking that question, what is something that's really exciting going on in your business that you want to talk about? It automatically tells you what they do for a living because they have to tell you that before they answer it. And then also it gets them emotionally attached to having a unique conversation that isn't like the others. Most people walk around in a networking event and say, hey, who are you? What do you do? They take your card. We exchange some niceties. That card goes in my pocket and I say, thank you very much. Let me refill my drink. And then I find somebody else to talk to. You could do that for the entirety of the event for an hour and a half, or you could be intentional about walking into the room with knowing exactly who you want to talk to, why you want to talk to them, how you can help them, and then never say any of those things to that person. You want to find that person and show interest with them. Ask them about that exciting thing that's going on. What's a goal? How you can help them achieve that goal. Not what does your product or service do to be able to help them achieve that goal, but how can you, the person, help them achieve that goal? The one thing that most people don't get asked enough in a networking environment is how can I help? Or who can I introduce you to? These two questions are some of the key questions that are going to make you stand out in a networking environment. How I can help, because nobody ever asks that. It's always, we all love to talk about ourselves, which is great because it's the thing that we are most comfortable talking about. However, nobody wants to listen to that either. So that's part of the challenge. So if you can say something like, how can I help you? Or who would you like to meet? This makes you sound very different than anybody else because everybody else is asking for you to help them. So when you want to talk to that CPA, you walk up to them and you say, I saw some opportunity, you know, aside from what are your goals? What is that exciting thing that you're working on? It's also, I have a way to help you and I think this is how. And would you like to have coffee in order to have that conversation? And from that place, that you sit, then sit down with them. And by the way, pro tip, you schedule that lunch, that coffee, right there in that meeting. Too many times is there a missed opportunity to actually schedule instead of having to follow up in the time. So you definitely want to make sure that, can I invite you to coffee? I have some opportunities I think that might help you achieve that goal. Or I might, or even better, I have that person that you want to meet. I'll bring them with you, with me. So now they get to have a coffee meeting with you and the person they want to meet. And you look like the star. The opportunities for them to become your new referral partner and bring you all of that new business just became exponentially greater. So don't miss that opportunity to schedule that meeting right then and there. I have seen it so many times that I grab that card and you say, I will reach out to you and we will plan that coffee date. And unfortunately, from that moment forward, people's lives happen. They have families, they have businesses, they have all these different things that they got going on, and scheduling that coffee with you just became the bottom of the priority list. So you definitely want to make sure that while you are standing in front of them, that you pull open your calendar and say, and when would you like to make that happen? If they are able to do that, some people have to go back to their calendar, but nonetheless, at least ask. It's important to make sure that you're intentional about that time with them and capitalize when they say yes, that you make it on the calendar. So stop collecting business cards and start collecting relationships. The next thing I want to make sure that you do is that you know exactly why you're there. If you don't understand why you are going to a meeting, then you shouldn't be going. There should always be a purpose for what you are there to do and who you are there to meet, most importantly. If you don't know exactly who that person is, you want to know at least what industry they're in. So like I said, at the top of this segment, you can ask somebody in the room, have you seen somebody in this industry? If you are walking into a networking meeting, just hoping to run into people and grab business cards, I hate to tell you this, but that is a huge missed opportunity is what I will call it. A huge missed opportunity. You need to be as intentional about your networking time as you are with your budget or where you spend your money or where your overhead is and those margins. That is how important and how productive that time can be. Because in those times when you are meeting, you could be meeting 20 people in a networking room rather than meeting three people that you made a huge impact on and talking to them each for 20 minutes, you can make a huge impact on those three people who will eventually turn into referral partners. Rather than meeting 20 people where only one person might end up being a referral partner. So being qualitative with the time that you give and to the person that you give it to is going to be my pro tip for when you go out to a networking event. This is really how you're going to raise the bar and make sure that you are engaging in highly productive relationships and highly profitable opportunities from utilizing that networking time. So definitely want to make sure you check out that. The other thing is definitely going to be, I would advise you, and most of you would probably aware of this, free events. Free events are kind of indicative of the quality of people and the quality of businesses, not people, but the quality of businesses that are going to be able to be there. So depending on what kind of industry you're in, you definitely want to steer clear of some of those free groups simply because they are unstructured, there's no real intent to be there, and ultimately if you're trying to grow your business with intent, those places aren't going to be some of the places that you're going to find the best quality opportunities there. So don't be shy to invest some money in going to some of those higher level events that are going to make sure that you get the most out of that time with you. And definitely want to make sure that when somebody asks you, who do you want to meet? You want to make sure that you tell them exactly who that is. And so stick around after this commercial break and we will dive more into how you can really make yourself stand out in the networking space. We'll be right back.
We are just getting started. Stick around and we'll be right back with more lessons, insights, and behind the scenes stories from the people driving real business forward. You're watching Biz Talk only on Now Media Television. And we're back. I'm Emily Galindo, and this is Biz Talk on Now Media Television. Let's dive back into the conversations that move business forward.
Welcome back to Biz Talk. If you're just now joining us, I'm your host, Emily Galindo, and we are here to do all things business, and we're diving into what it really takes to grow a small business, not in theory, but in the real world, where time, money, and resources are limited, right? So the biggest problem, the biggest growth opportunities often come from small, consistent actions, not massive overnight changes. We all know that when trying to lose weight, we can't just change everything and throw out all of the sugar and all of the bad things and start working out 7 days a week and only drinking water. It's too much. And for some that may work, but for most of us, it's too big of a change. So what are some of those small, consistent changes that we can implement into helping our small business grow to be more successful? So in this segment, we're going to break down some of those strategies that business owners can do to apply to start earning more tomorrow. So the first thing that I want to talk about is the hidden cost of doing everything yourself. So I know that we've heard this before, that delegation is key. As a small business owner myself, it is hard to do that. At least I understand it. For me, it's not very hard because most of it I don't want to do anyway. And so you want to make sure that you're delegating some of those things away. Now, how do you know that? The challenge with that is that you don't want to do it to just anybody. And if you are interviewing vendors right now for possibly a website redoing your website or a marketing solution or your CPA, you don't know what you don't know. So how are you supposed to be able to determine what's a good deal and can they do the job and all of those things so that you can start delegating? Which also, by the way, if I didn't mention, all takes time to figure out. You've got to do the interviews and look at the bids and do the investigation on the business. So what is one way that we can start delegating sooner with more trust in a way that's going to make a real impact on the business? And I will always come back to networking. If you are not doing an official type of networking to be able to grow those resources and to grow your circle of influence, I would highly recommend that you do that. And the rule for that is that you can always have resources there to help support you. Being in business is not easy, and doing it alone is even harder. And you don't have to do that. You can really just get into a group, a community, and start talking with other experts in other industries who have possibly been there before and can save you from making some of those very costly mistakes that you don't want to make by learning the hard way. So if you're looking for a new vendor, go into a networking environment or start working your own network of people. Like, who do you use and do you like them? And have you seen a change in your business? Asking questions to trusted people that you already have in your life is going to be the best, easiest, fastest way for you to find a good solution to being able to delegate some of those tasks, like bookkeeping. We've talked on this show on several occasions with Joseph Reyes, who has, and even Caleb Christian, one of my own guests, who talks about having that virtual team of people who are helping to run the business with you, and not just as vendors, but as a true partnership in your business. Which brings me to number two, the 5-hour rule for working on your business and not just in it. And that means spending 5 hours at least a week on working on the business and not in it. So that means you're not doing the P&L, you're not doing marketing strategies, you are doing marketing strategies, but you're not actually like posting on social media. Those types of things is working in the business. You have to be working on it too. And that means working on you as a professional, as a business owner. What are you doing to implement a habit that you can do every day? 5 hours a week is only 1 hour a day. So if 1 hour a day you are learning, growing, that you are working on the future of the business and not just what's happening today in the business, is going to compound over time and create an actual growth trajectory for you to be able to see it on the P&L one day, that it's gotten better and better and better. again, back to networking. If you are a part of Network in Action, or you know, some of those other, well, I don't know if there's any others. Network in Action, we do that every single month at one of our meetings, and we do that is working on the business. We are helping to grow the actual business owner so that they can feel more empowered to make some of these decisions, and helping them mastermind with other people. The community and the ability to have a community to bounce ideas off of, to help you work on the business, is a crucial component that you, I would recommend, can be a life-altering thing that you have in your business that others don't, that can give you a competitive edge. So don't go it alone. Have more people to be able to bounce those ideas off to help you work on the business. Which brings me to number three, social proof that sells. How to get and use testimonials that convert. A huge missed opportunity in business is definitely leveraging the experience you already have. And not just getting, so for a long time in the internet industry, in the internet world of business, Google five-star reviews have been held as one of the high standards, right? Consumers go to the Google Plus local page and see your reviews right there and can make a buying decision very quickly based off of those reviews. We have now, since with the evolution of the digital age, have multiple opportunities to be able to showcase those testimonials. And I use very general terms, but a lot of business owners overlook this opportunity because it does take time to focus. You do have to go back to clients and ask them potentially, but what habit are you implementing into your sales process to get those testimonials so that you can use them in the future for a future prospect, not even a customer yet? And having those testimonials and those videos, something for people to see and experience, can really help increase conversions by a substantial amount and making your sales process a lot easier. People have to be able to trust you and lower their perceived risk of whether or not you can accomplish the job. And having other customers showcase how great you are is a great way to get people to hear their stories and identify themselves in that situation, and that you are the person who's going to provide them with that solution. Number four, your network is your net worth, but only if you do this one thing, which is go to a networking event and build your network. And do it in a way that is authentic and real. And the key piece of that is helping others. You go into that room, yes, to grow your own business, but you do it to go in there to see, how can I give to them? How can I help them? Because if I help you, you are more likely to want to help me. And so knowing a lot of people is great, but if nobody knows who you are and you haven't helped any of them, they are less likely to be able to be somebody that you can ask for a favor or an introduction. So in business, a referral or a referral partner, all you're asking people for is a favor. Hey, do you happen to know this person? Yes, I do know that person. Would you be willing to do me a favor and introduce me to that person? Yes, I would. And now I've done you a favor, which means now I owe you a favor. So that when that person comes calling to me, who just introduced me to my newest client, I am way more likely to help them do the same. So, knowing a lot of people is not networking. Having a lot of business cards is not networking. Having a lot of relationships with people, and a lot is a big word. You can only really know 50 people and have good relationships with them. Which if you had 50 people in your life right now who knew you, who liked you, who believed that you were great at what you did, if you had 50 of those people who were out advocating for your business on a weekly, daily basis, how would that change your life? How would that change your business? It would make a huge impact. And so if knowing a lot of people is not enough. You got to know who they are, what makes them tick, how to help them, so that they can help you. So those are my four tips and habits that you can implement into your business today that would absolutely make it look like a completely different business in a year. So at the end of the day, building a thriving small business isn't about chasing every new trend or working yourself into burnout. It's about making intentional decisions, building real connections, and using your resources wisely. Whether it's networking with purpose or carving out time for strategy, the most successful entrepreneurs focus on what truly moves the needle. And one of those things might actually be joining me for an in-person networking event. Go to niahouston.com and check out one of our upcoming monthly meetings. We welcome all visitors, and definitely if you want to be surrounded by people who are like-minded professionals who are growing their business to the next level, and you want to be surrounded by that community and build your net worth, visit us at niahouston.com and find our next event coming up, and we would love to host you. Thank you for joining me for this episode of Biz Talk. I hope today's strategies inspire you to take a fresh look at how you connect, grow, and lead in your business. Remember, every big success starts with a single intentional step. So take yours today. I'm Emily Galindo, and this has been Biz Talk on Now Media Television. Until next time, keep building your business your way. See you.